Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Remember, you can always text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza's a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners, for locations or to place your order. Go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply.
So, week two of the preseason, would you rather the Commanders, since it's a preseason game, play on Saturday
versus
Monday night?
I guess just because I don't like staying up late. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's a meaningless game, but you kind of have to watch it because.
Yeah, I mean, staying a Monday night preseason game, and like if you're like what we do, and plus I love watching, but.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's torturous.
But Saturday at 7 would have
been
perfect.
It would be way better. Yeah.
So.
It's torturous for probably everyone involved to have a Monday night preseason game.
But, like Dan Quinn said yesterday in his presser, he's going to play some of the starters. Didn't mention which ones, didn't mention for how long, but he's going to play some of the starters. Not going to play any of the starters the following Saturday against the Ravens, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Probably not.
So, if you want to see the starters play at least a couple series, it would be Monday night. Against the Bengals. And I think the Bengals, I think Zach Taylor, he'll probably play Burrow and Chase and all those Higgins and all those guys for at least a couple series.
That's good.
As well. Right?
That's good.
But a Monday
and
night.
Burrow came out firing in his first preseason game.
Correct. And you've got two preseason games tonight. You've got Tennessee at Atlanta down at Mercedes-Benz. That's a 7 o'clock game on NFL Net. And then KC is at Seattle. No, Drabby will not be watching that. Actually, no, it's a Friday night. He probably will. Come home from Open Road Distillery and put it on.
Watch it there.
Or watch it there, yeah.
Of course.
Will you be out there still at 10 o'clock? Probably.
I hope so.
Mike Moore is going to be there, too. Mike Moore can't wait.
I can't.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I was in the bathroom actually listening to you guys, and I'm a little upset. I thought Drabby Valdez a little no-sold it. No, tonight is going to be lit, and I'm all about shutting it down. I'll be there watching, you know, the previews for the Saturday games.
Okay.
I was telling, he came out of the bathroom right when I was walking out, and he's like, man, they no-sold the gig. What I mentioned was, my guess is that the crowd is a different age than Mike Marr. You know, the average.
Marr's learning that Reston is different than Arlington.
Yeah, I'm guessing
that. It's a more sophisticated, mature crowd.
Yeah. I'm guessing the average age at the bar is 40.
Yeah, but age is just a number.
As you can tell, Marr's the ringleader with the three stooges.
You'd be surprised at Open Road Distillery in Reston.
There'd be some young people.
Not all in their 20s. It's not kids just right out of college, but you'll find some in the early mid 30s. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely.
That's what I'm saying. But you're just saying you're finding some. Well, there'd be some. The average is probably 40.
But it's not like 21st birthdays are going on there.
No.
Do you think
there'd
be like a nice 33-year-old divorcee?
Yes.
You know, for
multiple.
I went there on a date like a couple Fridays, like maybe like a couple months ago on a Friday, and there was a lot of people in their 20s. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Right.
It's younger than you think.
Would you date like a 33-year-old divorcee, maybe one kid?
Probably not date.
Smash, of course.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't date? Why would you rule it out? What if you really liked her?
I don't know. I mean, she has a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not fit to take care of a kid right now.
Right. I mean, you're my son's age, right? So you're 25 yet?
Yeah, I'm 25 now.
You just turned 25? Yeah.
Bring the kid over to hang out with your roommates.
The chalet.
It's in a chalet.
You play beer die.
Hey, Drabby, I haven't heard an update in a while on the hair. I mean, I have off air.
Yeah.
So are you going out tonight without a hat?
No. I'll still wear a hat.
Okay.
I'm in month, let's see, it was May 22nd, so we're coming up on 3 months here. I mean, it's starting to grow back. I'll show. I mean, I don't know how much you can see right now.
Put your head down
haircut,
so I can
it's very
see.
Very faint.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sheds in after the first month or so. So everything that they put in at the top.
So so for people to kind of get into your mindset, when they first do it, you see all the dots and see everything they put in there, and you go, wow, all right, that looks pretty good. And then it was holding strong, and then it went through what they said was going to happen. There will be some shedding, and that gives you a little anxiety, even though you know that's what's supposed to happen. You get anxiety when you see the shedding, right? So now you're encouraged because it's coming back.
Yeah, because you're like, oh man, all the hair they just put in is falling out. Something is wrong. No, it's all part of the process. You just gotta trust it.
Right, trust and, the process, baby.
And now I talked to Dr. Burka from Maine Center for Advanced Hair the other day, and I sent him some pictures. He's loving it.
It's he kinda, says it looks
it's,
great.
It's roaring back. So
roaring back.
Yeah, yeah. We're already.
Are you still doing the PRP too?
We did PRP when we did the procedure, but we're doing a couple other non-surgical treatments still.
Right.
And it's looking great, man. I mean, he's very impressed, so we're well on our way.
Right. Look, put your head down just so
it's,
I can see.
I know, just
so you can see the outline. I don't care how thick it is. Just you see. Yeah, yeah, you see. I mean, dude, you're going to be pumped when you have
it's coming. Yeah.
I was in church.
He's going to look like a totally different person next August.
Yeah. I was in church this weekend with my mom and my... And my wife, and I was sitting in the back row because we did what my mom hates, but what I like. We were the last ones in. I like to be first ones out.
Of course.
So I was the last one in, so we couldn't get up too close because my mom, you know, don't want to make a disturbance. Yeah. And I was looking forward, and I just started, I don't know why I never do this. I don't care. I just started noticing all How of the guys? Male pattern baldness. Because it was all, like, this is a D.C. church. It's an old school church. There's not a lot of young people. Like, I would say nobody under 30. I didn't see anybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was, but I didn't see them. So everybody's older. Most people are in their 50s, 60s, 70s. But I would say...
70% bald or partly bald?
Like, rear. Mm-hmm. I guess that's... Is that actually what male pattern baldness is, where it starts in the rear?
Starts right there at the top
of the
back
head. And goes through? Yeah. Is that male pattern or is male pattern in the front?
No, it's usually the bald spot.
I think it's right here.
I mean, I don't know exactly.
But like, I would see it in the back.
Yeah, crown. That's called the crown. Yeah.
And I was just, because I was sitting behind everybody, and I started looking around. And I went, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Like, the number of people that didn't have male pattern baldness was way in the minority.
Man, it makes
way
sense.
In the minority.
I'm telling you, hair restoration, transplants, it's going to be the complete norm in the next.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, they have to make sure they get the cost, though, that people can, you know, afford it.
Well, they are. I mean, everything is becoming more. But I'm just saying the normalization of it. I just saw this interview last week. John Cena talked about how it was the best thing that he's ever happened in his life.
Yeah, I don't know why. And maybe it has been a verboten thing. But everybody talks about Ozempic. What's the big deal? You know?
Yeah. I mean, well, a lot of people hide that they're on Ozempic.
Yeah, but a lot of people also talk about it.
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy on Wednesday who used to be really heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really heavy.
Like Jelly Roll?
Yeah. And he's lost a ton of weight. And I said, bro, you look great. Are you on the Ozempic? And he goes, no, I'm not. And I don't know if he was lying to me.
Yeah.
I don't think he would lie.
He
said it was basically diet and just starting to exercise more. But
I would say he's lying.
He might be.
If you knew him and you
saw him before, he's dropped a ton.
Everybody I see with drastic weight loss, I mean, come on. Everyone struggles with weight.
Can you just do it with diet?
Because all of a sudden you snap your fingers and all of a sudden it clicked when everyone else is, you know, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. Good. It's anyway. Good. I mean, if he's better, if he's healthier.
No, he seems happy.
Yeah.
All right, a couple injury notes here in the NFL. All right, Rams quarterback Matt Stafford, who has not practiced during training camp yet.
He's sure? I thought he practiced once.
I think he just threw some balls. I don't think he was in full practice. And then McVay talked about it after he threw. He said, his back didn't respond well. Uh-huh. But apparently he's going to work out with, I don't know if that means practice on Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, or just, you know, partly practice and just throw on the side. I don't know what that means, but he is going to be throwing the ball tomorrow morning with the Rams to see how his back responds.
It's not looking good, dude.
I mean,
it's not looking good if you're a Rams fan or you're a Stafford fan.
Yeah.
It just doesn't bode well.
He threw 68 passes in a workout last Saturday. So basically, he hadn't thrown in a week.
Yeah. You know, when you throw like that and then you're back out, it's not going to all of a sudden just get money. It's just not going to, it's, you know.
Doesn't look good.
Unless he gets like a cortisone shot or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's had those,
but maybe
I'm sure. That's the kind of thing that look that's like magic overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people.
Read Dr. Sarno's book.
Well, it depends on the type of injury that you have. Yeah, if he has a real injury.
Jordan Love had, of course, he underwent minor thumb surgery I guess it was earlier this week, but he says everything's good. He'll be ready for week one. So a couple quarterbacks dealing with those injuries.
Also, Shedeur Sanders, I don't believe, is going to play in this week's game because of the oblique.
Oblique.
By the way, there was a viral clip going around where some were accusing him of being mean to a kid, and kids are asking for his autograph before the preseason game. And if you watch the clip, he says, "I can't, I have a game." He actually even words, he even says, "It'd be a bad look if I sign an autograph before the game." You know, and people are killing him.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you.
Joe Burrow did the same thing.
He's a nice kid.
I mean, at some point you have to move, right? So Joe Burrow apparently didn't sign somebody's autograph.
You have to sign for everybody that screams. I mean, they scream for autographs all the time.
This was before the preseason game?
It was before a preseason game.
What percentage of those guys sign autographs before a game?
Probably very few. Yeah. And I don't blame the kids for screaming because they're kids, or even, you know, just, I guess, a loser autograph sellers.
Mm-hmm.
But it has no obligation to sign for you.
If you sign one kids, you got to sign 25.
Then you got to sign 25, right. Yeah, and as he said, by the way, that was a pretty important game for him.
Yeah, it was huge.
So the Browns play the Eagles, so you'll have Dylan Gabriel most likely starting tomorrow. So that'll be interesting.
Even if Sanders was healthy, Gabriel was going to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to give him a shot. Hey, Brandon Scherff announced his retirement.
I saw that. I didn't realize he wasn't in camp. Apparently, he had gotten offers. Yeah. He's only 33.
Yep. 10 years in the league. Of course, he was number five pick of the Commanders?
Yes.
Back in 2015.
They drafted him as a tackle, then J.J. Watt just moved him to guard single-handedly.
Yep.
But ended up having a great career.
Stud player at Iowa. He was, I think he won the Outland Trophy in 2014. And
I think he was a five-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he did have a really good career.
He had a great career.
Signed that 3-year deal with the Jags in 22. Started at right guard in all of 51 of the games.
I'm sure he has some wear and tear on him.
I'm sure he does.
But get out 33 relatively healthy. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal with a boatload of cash.
Yep.
I'm sure, you know, he can go fishing and deer hunting and everything else he likes to do.
He can do it all.
I'll do it all.
You were talking about obliques. Dylan Cruz, who I believe the Caps were still playing the last time he played.
Probably true.
In May.
They kind of snuck him into the lineup, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they designated Nate Lowe for assignment. So they basically waved bye-bye to him. Now they've got, it's basically like cutting him. I mean, they've got 7 days to either trade him or put him on waivers. But so he's not on the roster anymore.
That was a huge bust of a signing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard Grant going through a stat when I was driving around, and Lowe was second to last in the league in some sort of war statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think he had the best. He's regarded as a good defensive first baseman. I don't think he had the best year defensively either. I could be totally wrong based on the stats, but he just didn't have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Dylan Cruz came back up. He played 10, 12, 14 games in the in rehab in the minors.
Before that, he was out for months.
May 20th.
May 20th to August 14th.
But he went 1-for-3, played right field.
Had a stolen bases.
Yeah.
Stolen base.
Oh, he did? Good. Yeah, number 12.
So he's moving good. All right.
Yeah. Paul DeJong hit a home run. They beat the Phillies 3-2. Phillies have a 5-game lead, as I mentioned last segment, over the Mets and the NL East. The Mets have lost 15 of their last 17. They're just dying. But this is still kind of a big series for the Phillies when you're playing a bad team. So they'll play again tonight, and it'll be Zach Wheeler against Mackenzie Gore. Remember last time Mackenzie Gore pitched, he pitched great. Now, before that, he was struggling big time. But last time out, he pitched awesome, struck out 10, got the win. So it'll be Wheeler against Gore tonight, second game of the 4-game series.
Is the expectation that they're just going to keep DeBartolo as the GM, or do you think there's going to be a reset in the offseason where they get a new GM and a new manager?
I heard Jim Bowden talk about this on his show on MLB Radio on Sirius. He said he is hearing that the Learners are going to hire a president of baseball ops. So kind of a guy above a general manager. So maybe DeBartolo can keep the GM.
Kind of what Kasten did.
Yeah.
Back
so
in the day.
So maybe DeBartolo can keep the GM title, but the guy above him will be making all the decisions. I don't know. That's just what he said.
They're kind of known for not really doing big searches, right?
Right.
Like front office manager and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. I bet you they give the guy a shot.
And when we had Tom Lavera on, I don't know if that was earlier this week, he made a good point about the possible lockout. So if there's going to be a lockout,
right.
then
that was actually an excellent point that we're not thinking about.
Yeah, we weren't thinking about that. If there's going to be a lockout in 2027, then maybe the learners aren't going to go out and hire these big name guys in the front office.
Yeah, and then also nobody's going to buy a freaking team,
right.
when you're on the cusp of when they say there's going to be a lockout. In all likelihood, there's going to be a freaking lockout.
Yeah, seems like
the expectations though are that next year is going to be another losing season.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, why would it be any different?
Because you're not. They're not going to go
out. I mean, it's seven straight seasons. At some point, you got to turn it around.
But why would it be any different? They haven't done anything significant to change anything.
And I don't
there were expectations that this year they're going to be better. So maybe the guys.
Yeah, but the young players haven't been as good.
Okay, but maybe Dylan Cruz is healthy and pops a little bit.
Maybe they won't be as bad as this year, but I can't imagine they're going to tickle 500. I don't think so.
Unfortunate.
And last but not least, the NBA schedule was released yesterday because the NBA is right around the corner. I don't know when camps open. It's got to be the next month or so, but three or four weeks. But they announced the schedule. The opening matchups on Tuesday, October 21st, will be Houston at Oak City and then Golden State at the Lakers. The Wizards will open up the following night on Wednesday, October 22nd. They'll be at Milwaukee. That's an 8 o'clock start. And then they play two nights later on Friday at Dallas. So the Wizards will be down in Dallas to take on Cooper Flagg.
Their training camp starts October 1st.
Okay, October 1st. So, all right, so you got another 6 weeks or so.
All right, phone number you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, you can always hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we had an NFL insider for ESPN, Dan Graziano. We'll talk to him at 7 here on The Junkies.